The Game 5 edition of Star Market Celtics Tonight continues from the Garden, from Orlando, from wherever you are. That's where it continues. Our conversation with the head coach in the Zoom where it happens, brought to you by the Star Market Just For You digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Coach and I were just talking about the Zoom technology and how it finally burned one of our good friends yesterday, Jay King from The Athletic, who was caught struggling with the equipment. And when it was time for him to ask you a question during your news conference, well, he did technically ask a question, and it was a version of sort of what the heck, but he didn't say heck.
It's a good question. I mean, and I just told you offline, like my biggest regret in any media session this year, which, be candid, I don't have a lot of memories nor many regrets. My biggest regret was not just answering that question, because I think that, you know, there are always times, you know, whether he was talking about the coaching, you know, some of our plays throughout the game, there were plenty of things we could have applied there.
And so, well, what would your answer have been? Because I got to tell you, listening to the talk shows in Boston yesterday, that was pretty much the question everybody was asking.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that okay now? Can you just say that?
I think I'm using it euphemistically, but for the most part, that was the general sentiment. So what would that fun answer have been?
Yeah, I mean, like I just said, I would have answered it somewhat like that. But I just think that was a good laugh on a day where we needed a good laugh. So I appreciate Jay's technology for struggling, and I appreciate his candor as his technology was struggling.
What was your take, before we get to some of the other elements, what was your take on the first half? I know people asking about, oh, Jason Tatum because he didn't score. I thought it was both teams. I thought it was a ton of guys, with the exception of Tyler Hero, in that first half. Did it feel, being there, like the events of Wednesday played into that very sluggish start to the game?
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't want to necessarily speculate on that or project that. It did feel like it was both teams were struggling to play their best, and Hero certainly was great. You know, 15 points in the first half was a reason they had a 6-point lead. I was actually, based on how we played, based on everything, thrilled to be down 6 at halftime. And I thought when we came out in the third quarter, we played with, initially, we went back and forth, but then we played with some real good substance to get back into that game and take the lead. And then we just, you know, the turnovers killed us in the fourth, and we got put on our heels a little bit defensively because of that.
And that sort of brings me to this. We've discussed over the years in these playoff series the enormous temptation to make changes when you're facing the same team, when you have time in between games. Is it difficult to resist the temptation here when you can simply look down and see these stunning turnover numbers and the points that have come off turnovers in a series that's been dead even scoring-wise, and there's a 27-point gap through four games in points off turnovers?
That's it. And a series that, like you said, has been dead even. And so you're thinking about, okay, what can we do different personnel-wise? How can we substitute different? How can we attack certain things different? How can we defend different? There was a stat in game two where I believe we gave up 42 transition or second chance points. Like, I don't care what defensive system you have, we can't stop them if they're getting runouts and leakouts and plays off turnovers. And so we have to handle the ball better. We have to value possessions more. And if we do, then I think we'll play better defensively. And I think we'll play more crisply and assertively offensively.
Danny said yesterday, he vividly remembers times that he was coaching and he would watch somebody, say, at the free throw line and think, man, if he makes these free throws, I'm a great coach. If he misses these free throws, I'm a lousy coach. And in a series, again, in which the score has been dead even, does that ring true at all?
I will say this, everybody's entitled to say whatever they want to say, but I just don't really. I heard a line during the quarantine, what you think of me, regardless of whether the ball goes in or not, is none of my business. You know, like, it is what it is. I'm doing my best to make sure that we're in great position to play our best. And that's why I always say, like, I don't get caught up in the outcome as much as how we played, because you really can't control some things, you know, things like the ball rattling in or sometimes rattling out. You're not always going to control that, but you can control your mindset, your preparation, your readiness, your work, you know, making sure that you feel like you've done everything you can to prepare your team as well as you can. And I feel good about it. We've been with this team 1 year now. And so for every day, we've been trying to think about how we could be the best we could be. And I think we can play better in game five than we've played in the first four games. And that's the exciting part.
We've been citing the numbers. You know, the NBA defines, and I'm using finger quotes, obviously, clutch time as being the final 5 minutes or overtime when the game is sort of within two possessions. And obviously the numbers are pretty staggering in terms of the efficiency of Miami in this series in those situations. And Max and I were talking about this topic, and I'm curious as to what you think. Is clutch a real thing among players? Are there players who are better in those environments? Does clutch exist?
Yes, but small sample sizes of four games aren't how you define them.
Sure.
You know, I think that it defined over the course of a long stretch of time. And we have several players who have been huge in those moments their entire careers in the NBA, and we know can be and will be if given the chance to be that again. The number one thing, again, I go back to in those five-minute stretches are turnovers. Everybody's efficiencies on both ends of the floor look worse if they get run-out layups. And that happened a few times in game one, happened again in game two when we had the lead, and then it happened again the other night in game four. Easier for us to talk about, though, than done. You know, one of the things that I hear all the time is, you know, get the ball to the middle of the zone. And when you have Jimmy Butler, Andre Iguodala, and Bam Adebayo focused on the middle of the zone, that's how you turn it over. And so you've got to create action before those passes. And you have to be crisp before you get it there. Because if you stare at it, they're going to deflect it. They're going to steal it. And that's what's special about their zone, is they've basically got a triangle there of the best of the best defenders. And those guys are dominating that area of the floor.
That's the head coach. Max has played in a few of these games down 3-1, including being on the last Celtics team to come back from 3-1 down in 1981. And he said, he's always said over the years, in some ways, this is sort of the easiest games for a coach, for players, when you're sort of facing elimination. Is that true?
I don't know that I've ever really felt that there was an easiest. I don't know if that was the descriptor I'd use. I will say this is it. You bring everything you've got, you know, on every possession. You play the very best of your ability. And, you know we can play better. That's one of the things that I think is really encouraging. But we've got to do it, and we're trying to do it against a really good team. And so we recognize that. That said, we're looking forward to this challenge. You can tell that there's a bounce in our step to play.
Well, if you don't want to quote Max, you can quote Jay King, I guess, before the game.
I think I'll stay with Max. I was going to ask you if that's why Max wore 31.
That never occurred to me. I'm sure if he figures out a way to make money off that somehow, then I'm sure he'll say the answer is yes.
Let's figure that out for him.
I'm going to get that done tonight. That's the head coach. Game five is next on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.